Every once in a while, you come across an individual in the Bible that is not such a dominant character, and you get reminded of what a powerhouse of an individual. The person that I'm talking about is Caleb. Maybe some of you don't even remember his name, but the story of Caleb is found in Joshua chapter 14, so I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn there. If anyone needs a Bible, the ushers, they'll bring one to you. Just lift your hand and they'll bring a Bible to you. I want to read verses 6 through the rest of the chapter together, and then we'll look at Caleb's life as a character study and as an example, a model for you and for me. We all need good models, good role models. We know that there are many bad ones, and it's so important for us to be impacted by a good role model and then pattern our lives after the good godly role models that are found in Scripture. So here we are in Joshua chapter 14, beginning in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.' And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, or these names always stumble me, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of you-know-who, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war." Caleb, he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. This morning I want to talk to you about Caleb and I want to look at Caleb as an example of what a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ should look like. God wants you and he wants me to be wholehearted followers. There's something that is so wonderful about God, and he loves whole heart. He loves when people wholeheartedly serve him. He responds to wholehearted people. You see how wonderful he was towards Caleb, and 45 years earlier, because Caleb was of a different spirit, and Caleb, he had a whole heart towards God. He loved God. God made promises to him. And God is always faithful to his promises, and he's faithful to those who have a whole heart. And now, some 45 years later, Caleb is 85 years old. Caleb is now going to claim or inherit or enter into the very promises that God had made to him. God is always faithful to a wholehearted people. God is always faithful to those believers who consistently, wholeheartedly look to him and desire more than anything else in this life, desire to please him. God responds very well to wholehearted people. Now, Caleb was an example of a wholehearted follower of Christ. And I want to share with you four different ways that we can see what a wholehearted follower looks like. And these are four different circumstances that Caleb was in throughout his journey as he followed the Lord. And throughout his journey, he was challenged with different circumstances. And these were opportunities for him to fail. These were opportunities for him to either let other people persuade him and fail the Lord. These were opportunities for him to let the difficulties of circumstances get in the way and cloud his perspective and cause him to fail. These examples are examples of just seasons. Seasons when you're waiting and waiting and waiting on the promises of God, and it doesn't seem like they're coming anytime soon. All of us go through various seasons in life, and when you're waiting for God to come through and he's not coming through, that can become very, very challenging. Well, Caleb, he went through these things and more, but what I want to look at is how he was faithful. He was a faithful, wholehearted follower with his decisions. Now, Caleb was confronted with a group of, I want to say contemporaries, but we could say a group of men who had a very different opinion about the very same thing. I remind you of the time when, this is some 45 years earlier, Moses, under the direction of God, had put together a group of 12 men, one man that represented every tribe, and Caleb represented the tribe of Judah. And these 12 men, they went into the land of promise, and they all saw the same things. And yet the majority of them came back with a whole different perspective. So let's get reminded or get re-familiar with the account. And I want to draw your attention now to Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Looking at verse 26, this is after they went out to spy the land for 40 days. In verse 26, it tells us, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron. And all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit, its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, they saw the descendants of Anak there." These were known to be a group of people, a tribe, that there was many giants among them. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So then Caleb, after the majority of the people start talking and sharing some negative things, Caleb, seeing that his brethren had a different perspective on the same thing, it started to cause him to feel like, hey, I better say something. And so Caleb, he quieted the people in verse 30 before Moses. And he said, "Let us go up at once and take possession." And it's just a side note, it's always important when God is leading you to do something and you know it's the Lord, that you do it as soon as possible. Because oftentimes when God leads you to do something and you overthink it, there's a higher chance that you won't do it, or you'll talk yourself out of it. Caleb, he understood the importance of being faithful to do God's will in God's time. And so Caleb, he said to the people, he tried to quiet them and say, "Hey, listen, it's important for us to go at once. Let's get moving in God's will and take possession, for we are able to overcome it." That was his perspective, and I wonder what he went through as they were talking there in that meeting. And here, Caleb's thinking one way. We know Joshua was thinking much like Caleb as well. Caleb's thinking one way, and perhaps thinking the whole group is on board and everybody's excited. And then here at this meeting, he comes to find out that majority of the people don't see the same thing the same way. And I'm sure it would have been much easier for him to just say, "Well, you know what, I don't want to go against the majority. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to speak up." But he was more faithful to the Lord. And see, this is a great example for us. Here, Caleb, he took a stand because he wanted to be more faithful to the Lord than to the majority. Now, these weren't worldly people that he was taking a stand against, so to speak. These were the brethren. These were the brethren. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it. If you haven't, you will. But there comes time when even the brethren around you, will be bad examples and won't be faithful to the Lord. And in those times when the brethren around you are bad examples or are not faithful to the Lord, you will be challenged to take a stand. Amen. And it's better for us to take a stand against even our own brethren who decide to do things their own way and not God's way and be a part of the minority than to be a part of the majority and disobey the Lord. It doesn't work out for those who say that they follow God with their lips, but they don't follow God with their lives. People who say they follow God with their lips, but then when it comes to doing God's will, they don't follow the Lord, it never works out good. For these people, we understand that because of their decision, their poor decision-making, the decision to say, I'm going to go with what I see, then what God says, it caused them to live a life of just being in the wilderness, a life of just going in circles, so to speak, moving but never getting anywhere. Don't let that be you. See, when it came to making a decision, Caleb, he showed wholeheartedly that he is making his decisions based on the word of the Lord and the direction of his God. Wonderful example for you. Wonderful example for me. The way Caleb saw it was the way God saw it. Hey, we can overcome it. Let's go. Let's go at once. Let's possess the land. Let's do what God says, because we are able. And when it comes to doing God's will, whenever God leads us to do anything or says for us to do anything, and we know it's the Lord, no matter how difficult it might seem, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There is nothing too difficult for men and women of God when their whole purpose is just to obey God's will. But in contrary to Caleb, in verse 31, it tells us the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able." I hate hanging around Christians who have a "we are not able" mentality. They're the pessimists. You know, I heard something. Let's see if I can remember it. Pray. We are able. The pessimist is someone who sees every situation, or sees the problem in every situation. You know, sees an issue and then they see a problem. Where the optimist sees every problem as an opportunity. So the pessimist sees every opportunity and sees the problem in the opportunity. This is a problem. It's an opportunity, but they see it as a problem. Where the optimist sees the problem as an opportunity. And so here, these pessimists, we're not able. We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That may be true, but what the people didn't have that they had was God. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we had gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we're in their sight. So we were in their sight. So they saw moving forward in God's will in such a negative light. And so it got to them and it had such a negative effect on them. Never see God's will in the negative light, no matter how challenging it might be. For some, you know, it could be something like, well, God wants you to get your life in order. But if you start to get your life in order, that might cause some people in your life to leave. And you might think, well, I don't want to risk this relationship. But if God is calling you to get your life in order and to stop living a certain way, then you have to believe that the end or later on, the future that God has for you is much better than what you have right now. And anything that you may suffer loss now, God is more, he is so able and faithful to reward you 100-fold later. The most important thing is just trusting the Lord and moving forward in God's will and not looking at it in a negative way or how it's going to affect you in a negative way. See, that's how they thought. This is how it's going to affect me. Doing God's will is going to affect me in a negative way. And they couldn't get past it. They couldn't get past themselves. Now, Caleb was wholehearted. He was, hey, let's do God's will. God's will is the only way. Let's do things God's will. There's no other way. There's no other option. Now, we'll see his perspective, but look at how this affected the congregation, their perspective, their negative perspective of God's will. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept all night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. So they cried all night long, and they started to complain. And they complained about the leaders. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Now they're starting to complain against God. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So their whole perspective caused them to just go down this downward spiral. Now, in contrast, in verse 6 it tells us, but Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. They were just so upset at the way that their brethren were viewing things. And they spoke to all the congregation. They were trying to encourage them. All the children of Israel saying, listen, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Same thing, same land, just a completely different perspective. Now, Caleb's perspective, he's seeing it the way God sees it. And then he says in verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, if God delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. And he says, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. And look at how he saw them. He didn't see them as a threat. He saw them as provision. He said, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. These are all marks of a wholehearted follower of God. marks of a wholehearted follower of God, they see things the way God sees them. They have insight because God reveals his will, and then wholehearted followers say, regardless of what I can see humanly, my spiritual sight, I get my spiritual cues from you, God, and I see that these, what looks like obstacles in the natural, these are the very things that you're going to use to bless me. Caleb saw them not as giants, but as bread. It's almost as Caleb said, hey, we're going to eat them up because God is with us. They have no protection. God is on our side. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, God is on your side. God is with you. And God will strengthen you and help you to fulfill his will, no matter what it is you're facing. And the very thing that right now may look to you like an obstacle, something too hard to overcome, it's the very means God is going to bring you through to prosper you and to bless you. So do it God's way. You won't regret it. So here in his decision-making, we see that Caleb was a wholehearted follower of God because he made his decisions based on what God had said, not what he saw. The second thing was you see that Caleb was a wholehearted follower of God, not only in his decisions, but in the difficulties. Now think this through with me. As a result of the majority complaining, that whole generation, God, as part of their punishment, they would die off. And the very ones that they were concerned with, that is, the children of Israel were concerned with their children, they were the ones who were going to enter into the land. But their children would enter in, but they wouldn't because of their unbelief. And so they were going to die off. But now here comes the difficulty. Caleb didn't do anything wrong. And yet, because of his brethren's sins, he would now have to suffer alongside of them the consequences. He would suffer for 40 years out in the wilderness. That's difficult. That's a long, difficult season. That's a good majority of his life. He would be out in the wilderness. And not because, again, of his own wrongdoing, but because of the wrongdoings of others. How many of you have suffered because of the wrongdoings of others? Don't you just want to strangle them? Why? Because they make decisions based on the flesh. And yet, during those difficulties, during those years, if it was me, if I was Caleb, I think I'd probably get bitter. It's because of you that we didn't enter into the promised land, and now we got to wait around till you die off. Will you die? Will you die already? You know, maybe get bitter with God. Why should I suffer because of something that they did? What kind of God are you that you would cause me to suffer? Do you enjoy watching people suffer? People can get bitter during difficult times. You don't see that with Caleb. No, on the contrary, Caleb really maintained a good attitude. And that's what a follower of Christ does. A follower of Christ, number one, makes decisions based on God's word, and number two, maintains a good attitude even during difficult seasons of life. Most of us, if we're honest, we find ourselves in some challenging seasons because of our own doings. Fewer times it's because of other people's doings. And a lot of times it's just because that's life. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. That's life. But a wholehearted follower of God will maintain a good attitude. Now, the third thing is the duration. You know, he, for 40 years, he was out in the wilderness for that whole duration, and he didn't quit. You know, sometimes time has a way of making people become more or less spiritually minded. Because when people make a commitment to God and it's exciting in the beginning and God's doing new things, a lot of changes are taking place, it's all wonderful, exciting. But then years and years, once you kind of become familiar with the church and church life and the things of God, for some people, you just, over time, I've seen it over and over again. People that started out with me in ministry, some of them, a lot of them aren't even walking with the Lord anymore. And when I'm talking about starting out in ministry, I'm talking about in the early 90s. Some folks that I've served with arm in arm, we were leaders. They're not even walking with the Lord. Their marriages are they're split up. They're not married anymore. I've heard of so many brothers and sisters in Christ that I used to minister with, and they're divorced. And it's really sad. But a faithful follower of Christ is in it for the duration. This is not just a part-time thing. When you make a commitment to God, it's for life. And here, going back to Joshua chapter 14, Caleb, he didn't let the difficulties of being in the wilderness, or he didn't let the time, none of that get to him. Now it comes time for Caleb to go and claim that promise. He's like, give me that mountain. Give me my mountain. He had been waiting on the promises of God for the whole duration. And he's like, I'm ready. I'm more ready now than ever. I've been waiting for this day to come. I have been just staying faithful to the Lord. And you know the man was faithful to the Lord because the Lord himself, back, and we don't want to turn there, but back in Numbers, the Lord himself said that Caleb has a different spirit. He's a man of a different spirit, and he's followed me wholeheartedly. You know when God says it, that it's true. It was an accurate assessment. And Caleb is not being prideful in any way of just speaking the truth. He was indeed faithful. By the way, you know what Caleb's name means? Anybody? Believe it or not, his name means dog. Dog. Look it up. Holman's. Holman's Bible Dictionary. Next, his name is dog. Now, I have to think, why is it? Well, I don't believe in any way, shape, or form it was a derogatory term. What is a dog known for? Faithful. He had a characteristic, you know, there's something about dogs that they do teach you, right? Any of you who have dogs, how many of you have dogs? They teach you a lot. They are faithful, loyal pets. Way better than cats. And this man was a faithful man. Even God said it. And so he's ready. He's ready. He's ready to fight. He's like the dog, the bounty hunter. You ever see that guy? He's ready. That guy's got to be at least 85, right? He looks it. And he's ready to fight. And so Caleb, back in chapter 14 of Joshua, He says, you know the word. That's how he starts. You know the word. You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, he's speaking to Joshua, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. You know, Caleb hasn't lost his memory. He hasn't lost his desire to serve God. Age is not an issue. It's never too late to serve the Lord, never. Those of you who might think, hey, I'm getting to that place where I'm going to retire. Retirement is not a word in the Bible. Now, if you're retired, in a human sense, that's okay, but no one retires from serving the Lord. He's not thinking, I need a rocking chair. He's thinking, give me a sword. I'm ready to do battle and fight for the Lord. And so he says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. I brought back word as it was in my heart. Joshua, you remember, we were together. And he had a respect for Joshua. He had a respect for Moses. He calls him the man of God. You remember. He says, nevertheless, my brethren, I was ready then, but it was my brethren who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. And he says, but I wholly followed the Lord. See, he had a different mentality, different perspective, and he made a decision to take a stand. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholeheartedly or wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Caleb says, it was the Lord who's kept me alive. And saints, you're not going to be here a day longer or a day less than what the Lord has for you. So don't get too caught up in your life. Get more caught up with him. And so he says, it was the Lord who's kept me alive. He's kept me alive for this day. I could picture Caleb saying, okay, one more day, one more dead. One more dead, another day closer. One more dead, another day closer. I'm sorry, you're the one who blew it. We'll see you in the after, but as for right now, I'm looking forward to that day when all y'all guys are gone, and me and Joshua can go with your kids because you blew it. You blew it. And the Lord, he's kept me alive. All of them were dying, but he's kept me alive, just like he said he would. And that's what he says. As he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness during the difficult days. That was a difficult time, but I hung in there. And now, here I am this day. I've endured. And you know, all of us are called to endure to that day when we see Christ face to face. But he says, and now, this day, I'm 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. You know, when you get older, it gets to a point where, you know, you don't care what other people think. And you're just a little bit more straightforward. You know, when you're young, you really care about what people think, and you're very concerned about how you word things. But when you get older, you're like, give me this mountain. You know what God says. It's time now. Give me this mountain. And Joshua, who is probably about, some suppose, about 15 years older. So here, Caleb's 85, Joshua's about 100. What a great testimony. These old guys serving the Lord. I love it. So he says, give me this mountain, verse 12, of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord, and I love how he words this. He says, it may be that the Lord will be with me. It's like, I'm just going to go. I'm not going to be too preoccupied with the details. I'm just going to go. I wanted to go then, and I'm going to go now, and it may be that the Lord will be with me. It's like I'm going to do it with or without any help. Maybe. I don't know what he was thinking, but nevertheless, he was ready to go. That we get, and we know that the Lord was with him, no doubt about it. He was just acting on the word of God. And I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I said there was four things. The first was decisions, example of a wholehearted follower. A wholehearted follower makes decisions in a way that goes in harmony with God's will, endures difficulties, maintains a good attitude during difficulties, is in it for the long haul, the duration. You know, Caleb, he didn't quit. He didn't grow weary in well-doing. He just kept going right to the end. And it's funny because Caleb's like, hey, man, over there in that mountain, there's the giants. You know, I want the big ones. I want to fight the biggest ones. He wasn't afraid. But you know, the fourth thing is really the doctrine. He was faithful to the doctrine. Now, I don't mean the teachings. I mean, of course, the Lord taught them so many things. But the key to his success, and this will be the key to our success, the reason why he was able to make the decisions that he made and he was able to continue through difficulties and continue for the whole duration was because, look what it says in verse, and there's other places too, but let's look at verse 6. He says, you know the word which the Lord said. And then look at verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive as he said. Look what he said there again in verse 10. The Lord spoke this word to Moses. Look at verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Look at the last few words in verse 12. As the Lord said. You know, his doctrine, his mind was all filled with what the Lord said. And because he was filled with what the Lord said, everything else he was able to do. That was the key to his success, is what the Lord says. So in closing, my brothers and sisters, God wants you to be a wholehearted follower of his son, Jesus Christ, just like Caleb modeled for us. And the key to your success, the key to my success, is making our decisions based on the word of God. Whatever difficulties we might face, we face them and we endure them because we know the word of the Lord. And when the seasons get long, the word of God is what our strength and comfort is. It's so important to be men and women of the word, because that's where the secret of our success, to be faithful followers, wholehearted followers of God, will come from. I don't know what you're going through today, but I'll tell you this. You obey God, and he'll take care of the rest. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us and your love and mercy and your grace. We pray, God, that you would continue to pour out your blessings on your people. We thank you for the examples that you provide for us throughout the scriptures. And we thank you for the life of Caleb, that though he's been gone for many years, he's with you. His testimony still speaks very loud, and it encourages us to be wholehearted followers. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.